Hello and welcome to our program today. In the last program we left, Nehemiah says he was very angry. Today we're going to look at how he handled that anger. Stay tuned. In Nehemiah chapter 5, verse number 6, we read that Nehemiah said, "I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, Ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them." Now, first of all, he was very angry. That word has been translated wrath 13 times. Now, what do we do with this anger? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not." The Bible says in Mark 3:5 that the Lord looked round on them with anger. Well, God gave us our emotions, and anger is an emotion, but we need to be very careful that if we're going to be angry, that anger is going to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And so what Nehemiah is doing here, he's checking the basis for his anger. He said, "I consulted with myself." Now, that word consulted has been translated reign 289 times, reign, as to be in control, to reign in yourself. He said, "I consulted with myself." Now, the self-life consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so what he's doing here is saying, now, I need to be very careful with this anger. It's not wrong to be angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Nehemiah wanted to be sure that he wasn't going to sin here as he took control of this situation. Nehemiah had a very unpleasant situation to take care of here, but the first thing we see is that he took care of it immediately. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The word sentence has been translated decree, which is an official order issued by an authority. Well, in this case, Nehemiah was the authority. He had a very unpleasant situation that he needed to take care of, and he took care of it immediately. He did not shy away from this uncomfortable responsibility. He was not influenced by their prosperity, their power, or their position. He took care of it. Now, first we read here in verse number 7 that he talked to them privately. Verse 7 says, "I rebuked the nobles and the rulers." They apparently didn't listen. And so we read in verse number 7, "I set a great assembly against them." It sounds very much like what we find in Matthew as far as church discipline is concerned. Well, we read in verse number 8, "And I said unto them," and that, of course, was publicly now, "We, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold to us?" Then held they their peace, and found nothing to answer. Well, they couldn't answer him. He could take them back to the Old Testament laws in Deuteronomy, where they were forbidden to charge their brother's interest like this. He went on to say in verse number 9, "Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen and our enemies?" He said, you need to get in the fear of God. You need to understand what God says about your money, and you need to be doing it. Good advice for today. And what about the heathen are looking in? We are a reproach to them. Matthew Henry, in his Matthew Henry commentary, says, nothing exposes religion more to reproach than the worldliness and hard-heartedness of the professors of it. Well, he was charging them usury. That was the issue. We would call that interest. And Nehemiah 5:10 says, "I pray you, leave Let us leave off this usury. Leave it off. Okay, we're going to quit. No, he didn't leave it there. In verse 11, he says, restore, leave it off, and restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses, also the hundredth part of the money, and the corn, and the wine, and the oil that ye exact of them. And they said, we will restore. Now keep in mind, we are looking at the prelude to revival here. We are looking at the great revival that happened in Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're looking at why it happened. Well, they didn't get upset and get all rebellious and leave and say, well, we're going back. Yeah, we like it back in Persia better. We're out of here. They didn't say that. They did what they were supposed to do. We will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Well, Nehemiah didn't leave it there either. Then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Yeah, talk is cheap. Are you really going to do this? Let's set this up. Let's make an oath before the priest that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. And he required accountability. Well, verse 12 says, then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Nehemiah didn't leave it there either. We read in verse 13, also, I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said amen and praised the Lord, and the people did according to this promise. We read here that Nehemiah shook his lap. This was a symbolic act. It said, now if you break your promise, you will be emptied out. That is, financially, you will be emptied out like the dust is emptied out from my garment. Nehemiah said, I rebuke them, and the rebuke was received. Usually they react in anger and attack and revenge and leave and go and gossip about everything. Not this time. We read here they even praised the Lord. Nehemiah had set an example for them as far as financial things were concerned. It says here in verse 14, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, even unto the 32nd year of the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten of the bread of the governor. But the former governors that have been before me were chargeable unto the people, and have taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. He said, I didn't charge you. He could have taken it. It would be like a pastor today going to work with no salary. I wonder how many would stick around if they didn't get a salary. Well, he said, yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither under the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon the people. He said, I had to feed all these people, and I took care of them, and I did it at my own expense. And then he says in verse number 9, think upon me. That word, think upon me, that phrase has been translated, remember, 182 times. Remember, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Nehemiah did what he did for the people. What was in it for him? He had left a pretty nice situation back there to come down here and work and help the people. Well, we read in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister.